ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 5th chapter, text number 28. The demigods appeal to the Lord. Ahajasya chakram tvajayer yamanam mano mayam panchadasarhamashu trinabhividyoch chalamastanemi Yadakshamahustamritam prapadye. Ajasya, of the living being. Chakram, the wheel, the cycle of birth and death in this material world. Two, but Ajaya, by the external energy of the Supreme Lord. Iryamanam, going around with great force. Manah mayam, which is nothing but a mental creation depending chiefly on the mind. Panchodasha, 15. Aram, possessing spokes. Ashu, very quick. Trinabhi, having three naves, the three modes of material nature. Vidyut, like electricity. Chalam, moving. Astanemi, made of eight fellies, the eight external energies of the Lord. Bhumi Raponalo Vayu, etc. Yat, who? Aksham, the hub. Ahu, they say. Tam, unto him. Ritam, the fact. Prapadye, let us offer our respectful obeisances. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. In the cycle of material activities, the material body resembles the wheel of a mental chariot. The 10 senses, 5 for working and 5 for gathering knowledge, and the 5 life airs within the body form the 15 spokes of the chariot's wheel. The 3 modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are its center of activities. And the 8 ingredients of nature, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego, comprise the rim of the wheel. The external material energy moves this wheel like electrical energy. Thus the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub or central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul and the ultimate truth. We offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Purport. The cycle of repeated birth and death is figuratively described herein, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.5, Aparyam mitastvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. The entire world is going on because the living entity, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is utilizing the material energy. Under the clutches of the material energy, the jivatma is revolving on the wheel of birth and death. under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The central point is the Supersoul, as explained in Bhagavad Gita 18.61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddhesher Junatishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The material body of the living entity is a result of the conditioned soul's activities. And because the supporter is the supersoul is the true reality. Every one of us, therefore, should offer our respectful obeisances to this central reality. One should not be misguided by the activities of this mature world and forget the central point, the absolute truth. That is the instruction given here by Lord Brahma. Ajasya chakram tvajayeryamanam manomayam panchadasharhamashu trinabhividyuch chalamastanemi yadakshamahustamritam prapadye. In the cycle of material activities, the material body resembles the wheel of a mental chariot. The 10 senses, 5 for working and 5 for gathering knowledge, and the 5 life airs within the body form the 15 spokes of the chariot's wheel. The 3 modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are its center of activities, and the 8 ingredients of nature, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego, comprise the rim of the wheel. The external material energy moves this wheel like electrical energy. Thus the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub, or central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul and the ultimate truth. We offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Kroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sundubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So with the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially all my seniors, Lord Brahma is the chief engineer. He has created all the life forms in this universe according to the blueprint which was given to him by Krishna. Krishna gave him the knowledge, and Brahma, being a very obedient and faithful follower, he enacted it. He carried it out exactly as it was handed to him. Here, he is glorifying Krishna or Vishnu, and he's speaking about the material body, which is like the wheel of a mental chariot. He's describing this wheel with its different aspects, its different components. And it is slightly technical. And he's talking about the 10 senses, the 5 working senses, which we know are the arms, the legs, the anus, genital, the speech, and the 5 knowledge-gathering senses, which is touch, smell, taste, sense of sight, and the sense of hearing. So, They are compared to the 15 spokes together with the 5 life heirs. They're different heirs in the body which move things. If they're not moving, then you're not moving very well. And we have all experienced that. Or if they move too fast, there's disturbance in the body if those heirs are not regulated. So these 15 are the spokes in that wheel. And then there is the 3 modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, which are the center of activities. Everything revolves according to these modes. And the 8 ingredients of nature, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the sky, the mind, intelligence, false ego, they're the rim of the wheel. Rim, you understand? The rim. And then also, you have the central part, which is the hub or the central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything revolves around that central point, that hub, which we'll speak about in just a moment. Now, someone may say, why all these analogies? Why so many components? Srila Prabhupada, I just heard him talk in a morning walk yesterday on a recording, when somebody was saying, why so many demigods? Why so many of all these different descriptions? And he said, you do not know, because you have never created anything. But the engineer, he knows. How many parts are there in an automobile? Any automotive engineers here? I'm sure there's several thousand parts in an automobile. Now you may say, for what? Why so many parts? It's just an automobile, right? But you do not know. The engineer, he knows, because he has built it. So Brahma is the original engineer, and he knows the components that are necessary in order for this yantra, this machine, to work. And it is quite a tremendous machine, if you think about it. The human body is such a special gift. It is such a special device that we have been handed. Very capable for self-realization, for spiritual understanding, and very sophisticated machine. Have you ever wondered how sophisticated the body is? Have you ever seen the textbooks that doctors use? Ever seen anybody go to medical school? It takes like 8 years to get a degree in medicine, and they have books this big, and they need to memorize them because there's so many parts in this machine. So all these parts, they revolve very quickly. And it moves like electrical energy. Have you seen electrical energy move? Have you seen electrical energy move? It's fast. You've seen a thunderbolt? How fast is it? Like lightning, exactly. Approximately. Like lightning. Very fast. So that's as fast as your machine moves. Oftentimes much faster than we are even aware of. But everything revolves around the hub, or the central support, the Supreme Lord, who is the substance, the stable pivot around which everything else is centered. And that is the super soul. And Brahma, he's offering his respectful obeisances to that personality who has created everything and around whom everything revolves. In this world, Everybody is trying to achieve happiness through interacting with the world through their senses. That is the nature of the living entity. And because the living entity is trying to move in this world of names, it is trying to enjoy, and it becomes captivated. It becomes conditioned by its tendency to enjoy and to control. And because it is thinking that I am the center of existence, and thus it becomes out of center. It goes out of center. It is not anymore connected to the center, which is Krishna. If we think ourselves to be the center, then we cannot appreciate who actually is the center. Just like this whole episode took place, as we've heard yesterday, beautifully described by Maharaj, because Indra thought himself the center. Indra thought, it's about me. I am the king of the demigods, and I'm riding on a big elephant called Airavata. So get out of my way. And there comes this little sage, Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa, he offers him a garland, but Indra, he's got not much interest nor much use for garlands, because he's the king of heaven. What kind of garlands does Indra have? Plenty of nice garlands, right? So, because he's thinking himself to be the center, he cannot appreciate anybody else. He cannot appreciate Krishna, he cannot even appreciate Durvasa Muni. So when we think ourselves to be the center, we cannot appreciate Krishna nor other living entities. And we cannot properly relate with Krishna nor with the living entities, because we think ourselves to be the center of attention. So, in order to properly relate to Krishna and to the living entities, we need to get out of the center. Now, how do we do that? By understanding our position as the servant. That we are the servant of Krishna, and we are the servant of the living entities. Then, we can again reestablish our proper relationships with these living entities. Indra could not properly communicate with Durvasa Muni because of his pride and of his mistaken identity. And in a similar way, in a minute, small comparison, oftentimes we have a hard time relating to other living entities or relating to Krishna, because we have a mistaken sense of being in the center of attention. Thus, we cannot properly communicate with others. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about this material world, which is going on because of the desire of the living entity to enjoy here in this material energy. But it is captivated, it is under the clutches of material energy. And thus, the jivatma is revolving on the wheel of birth and death. Prabhupada is speaking about how the living entity is being accompanied by the supersoul, this friend. The Upanishads are describing that there are two birds sitting in a tree. One of the birds is eating fruits, some of them sweet, some of them sour. And the other bird is simply watching and observing. Now that's sometimes a little hard to fathom, because you think, why is this bird not eating? Have you ever been out watching people? Has it ever happened to you? That you watch people? You just stood somewhere and you just observed people? And you had no interest to interact with anybody. You just wanted to observe. You got a little glimpse of an idea of what it must be for Krishna to just watch and observe. So, the Supersoul is not personally taking active involvement, engagement in these different types of activities, but is simply observing. And as it is explained in Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter, Upadrashtanumantascha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara Paramatmeti Chapyukto Dehismin Purushapara, that the super soul is the witness. It is overseeing and it is permitting. It is saying, yeah, okay, that's all right, you can do this. No, don't do that. But oftentimes the living entity is not ready to listen and thinks, no, I know better. I'm going to go do this now. And thus, it becomes entangled because it does not want to hear. It does not want to hear. I met a man on Haight Street, and he looked at the books and he said, I met this man. I said, where did you meet him? He said, I walked into his store in 26 Second Avenue. And the people there, they brought me to his room upstairs. And I sat in the room with him. And it was mystical. It was magical. I said, what happened? He said, nothing happened. That's the perfect thing about it. I didn't say anything. And he didn't say anything, but we communicated in a nonverbal way. And that went on for quite some time. He said, like 40 minutes I was in there. And we communicated, but he didn't say anything, and I didn't say anything, but it was perfect. And then he gave me some food and I left. And then 40 years later he got the book. Why? Because he could not listen to Prabhupada. He was not ready to hear. So Prabhupada did not speak to him because he saw this person was not ready to actually listen to him. Have you ever had situations in your life where you wish you had listened, like a few decades ago, but then things just took a long time, and later on homework catches up, and we have to learn the hard way? So this ability to listen depends on our sincerity, on our desire, and our understanding that I need to listen. I need to hear this. This is relevant. Brahma is speaking to me. I have to apply this in my life. That sense of urgency comes when we associate with devotees who have made it their life's business to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Srinvatasvakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantakstuya Badriani Vidunoti Suritsatam. All the impurities become cleansed from the heart through the regular process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But it takes a dedicated, a concentrated, a daily practice and effort to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes we slip from our practice and we get too busy with the spinning wheels, all these different chakras, these different wheels that are spinning at lightning speed. And we just become mesmerized, we become absorbed. We don't even realize how time is passing. So to make a concentrated effort to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is an essential part of a devotee's life. And Srila Prabhupada has wonderfully given us this opportunity. He's created these centers so we can hear Srimad Bhagavatam. It's there, it's available. But are we availing ourselves of this opportunity? So Prabhupada gave us the morning program. He gave us Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because he fully understood what Jiva Goswami explains in his Sandarbhas, that the purpose of the universe is compassion. Krishna very compassionately created this universe for the living entity to enact their propensities, to enjoy and to try one more time, to somehow pull it off. It sounds like ludicrous. It sounds like a joke. But Krishna has made this arrangement. And mercifully, he has given so much support and so much guidance and so much instruction. But the living entity who is very stubborn, it does not want to listen. Because it has already made up its mind. On the same talk that I heard yesterday, Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a stubborn child. Of a stubborn child who came back from the exam And the parents asked him, "So how did it go?" And the child said, "You know, many of the questions, they were too difficult. I could not answer them. And all the other questions, they were too easy. So I did not bother to answer them." And we're laughing, but we're not realizing that's me. I'm not ready to face what is really difficult, and what is easy, I think it's too easy. I don't have to worry or bother with it. So I end up doing not much. And so my scorecard is a little light. So to understand the center, what is the purpose? We hear about how to put Prabhupada in the center, how to be more focused on Prabhupada. What is Prabhupada's mood? What is Prabhupada's heart? What is his meditation? Srila Prabhupada, we hear, is always absorbed in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. How can I save these fallen fools and rascals who are suffering in this ocean of birth and death? Radha Damodar Temple is also considered to be the hub of the universe. Am I correct? So the whole universe is revolving around that place, that very special place. So Srila Prabhupada was situated there in that hub, and he was engaged in intense bhajan and intense writing. And what was his meditation? How can I bring this message to everybody? He was not thinking, how can I only reach this group or that group? Who is my target audience? He's thinking, how can I benefit the entire world with Krishna's mercy? That was the extent of Srila Prabhupada's compassion. And in a similar way, if we want to put Prabhupada in the center of our lives, let us meditate and make plans. How can I please Srila Prabhupada? How can I act in such a way to give pleasure to Prabhupada? Would this activity be pleasing to Prabhupada? We may think of ourselves sometimes, I'm speaking of myself, that I'm doing okay, or I'm doing quite fine. We may think of ourselves even as advanced, or knowledgeable, or spiritual. But then when we're faced with reality, it's sometimes hard to live up to the occasion when people test you. And tests will come. Just like when you go out on the street and you face the public, they may not always act in a way that you expect. Sometimes we present a book to somebody and the person may say, "No, I will not give you a donation, but I can give you my blessings." You want my blessings? You have my blessings. Can you accept those blessings? Or do you feel not so nice about that? So many people came and they gave Prabhupada so much advice and so many things that they said, incoherent things. Or Prabhupada simply appreciated them. Simply appreciated them. And that won their heart. Just like this fellow who met Prabhupada in New York. Prabhupada appreciated him, and he gave him the time of the day. And he saw that where he was at, and that it would take some time. Let us introspect. Do I have a molecule of compassion? Do I have a molecule of empathy? Sometimes it's difficult to communicate. You may think, I may not be so articulate. I may not speak so well. I cannot get my concepts across. But Prabhupada is giving the analogy of the house. If the house is on fire, can you go and get help from your neighbor? Is it possible? Even if you're in a different country? I think it's possible, right? You can manage to explain your situation to them. And oftentimes, we're in a similar situation that the people may not speak your language. But empathy is the only language that everybody can understand. empathy, compassion. What does compassion mean? Compassion. Com means together. And passion means suffering. That you're ready to suffer with them. So compassion means I'm ready to suffer with you. When you hear somebody out, you take interest in them. For that time, when they tell you their little story or their plight, don't you suffer with them? Certainly, if you have a heart. Of course, you can just look the other way while the person is talking to you, and then you tell them how it is. But that will not work. That will not really touch their hearts. So the depth of Prabhupada's compassion is unlimited. This Krishna Balaram temple, this ISKCON movement, is a manifestation of Prabhupada's compassion. He was ready to suffer with us, for us, to help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. So do we have a plan? How to alleviate Srila Prabhupada's suffering and how to help Prabhupada spread this mercy, spread this message all throughout the world? Do we have a plan? Brahma, he had a plan. Why did he have a plan? Because he got the blueprint from Krishna. Remember how we started? He accepted the blueprint. Okay, this is the roadmap. I'm going to stick to it because I know it comes from Krishna. It will work. So Prabhupada has given us the directives. He said, I've given you the principles. You fill in the details. You apply it according to time, place, and circumstance. So what is our plan? We should meet the dawn with a plan. What is your plan for studying the Bhagavatam? Do you know when you're going to finish the Bhagavatam? Do you know? How many of you know when you're going to finish the Bhagavatam? If you read 41 pages a day, in 1 year, you can read the Bhagavatam. It's doable. But instead we connect to so many random moving objects, to so many wheels, chakras, and kala chakras that are out there spinning. And eventually they're just diminishing our lifespan here in this world. We are small, tatasta. And as small jiva-atmas, it is our nature to connect to something big. People want to be connected to a big person, to a big organization, to something glorious. So, Krishna is giving us the opportunity. He says, just surrender unto me, and I'll got you covered. Just like if you go into the witness protection team, in the witness protection program, you get a new name, a new passport, and a new identity, and a new occupation. So in a similar way, when you take up the process of bhakti, you get a new name, and you get a new occupation, and you get a new place of residence. And it's wonderful. And Krishna says, Masuchaha, don't worry, I got you covered. The bad guys, they're not going to get you. Because everyone is working under Krishna's directive. But when we connect ourselves to the random moving objects of this world, and we think them to be the center of our lives, then we become frightened. We become fearful. Because we see how they're fallible fighting soldiers. Deha patra, kalatradishu, atma sanyeshu, asatsvapi, tesham pramatanidanam, pashyanapina pashyati. How many times has this body disappointed us? Countless times. How many times have other bodies and buddies disappointed us? Countless times. Including our relatives, our friends, our near and dear ones. Eventually, we can keep nothing here in this world, and we simply have to move on. And the only thing that we take with us is the mental imagination, is our imagery, is our projections, is our desires, is our ambitions that we have. But if we learn to connect our mind, our thinking, feeling, and willing to Krishna, to Krishna's pleasure, to Krishna's happiness, then we will find peace, we will find solace, we will find stability. The most peaceful place in the universe is right in the eye of the storm if you connect yourself with Krishna. Everything can be spinning at lightning speed, but if we connect ourselves with Krishna through this process of Harinam Sankirtan, we'll be safe. Kirtan Ras is the safest position in the universe. That's from the introduction to the songbook. So, according to our taste for chanting Hare Krishna, and our taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, and our taste for sharing this message with others, to that degree, we're stable, we're safe, we're satisfied and happy. And if I do not have taste, then I'm also another Sputnik. You know Sputniks? These little probes, these, you know, all the junk that's out there in the cosmic garbage pile that's orbiting around. So, Harinam Sankirtan, this is the substance. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. Kali Kaler Namarupa Krishna Avatar. He gave us this name of Krishna. Yet, unfortunately, I do not have taste for Krishna's name. I feel no attraction. I feel no peace of mind, because I have accepted so many substandard, so many substitutes as my goal in life. So Brahma is praying and he is showing us how to address Krishna. When you address a great person, you glorify. The first thing is you glorify them. Then you state your case. You say, you're so great and I'm so small and I'm so wretched. And therefore, please give me a little mercy. So that is the bona fide method of how to approach Krishna. And Brahma is very beautifully given us these prayers here. And we have Srila Prabhupada's brilliant purport. Hare Krishna. We have a few minutes for questions and reflections. Yes.
I like the example of the witness protection, because under that, the witness has to work with a particular agent, not other government agencies or other things. And if he steps outside of that, the old identity may find him and get him in lots of trouble. So we have to stick with our particular agent if you brought on that.
Yeah, also sometimes, you know, they have this little thing around their leg, you know? So if you go out of orbit, they'll come and find you. Yes, thank you.
Prabhu, how do you identify the this other body in the next body? How? And how long do you stay with the other body? Immediately or take time?
I don't know. I've done it so many times, but I'm... Right now, I don't know. It's magical. It's unbelievable how the living entity wrapped up in the subtle body travels to the next body, to the next destination. But it's explained in the Bhagavatam. So if you study third canto, second canto, these things are described. And there are very scientifically minded devotees who can explain to you in plain English how it actually works. And whatever they say, I second that. Hare Krishna. Other points? Yes. Sure. See, we get help here from...
So, Swami, you said it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the living entity is extracted from this body by the Yamadutas. There's a punishment for their sinful activities, and it may seem only momentarily. But it can go on for a very long time, and during that period of time, you are being persecuted for your sinful activities, and then you are again put into the womb of some form of divinity. So it seems like a moment, but it could continue for a long time.
Thank you. Yes. Microphone.
Thank you. I like when you said we've had so many bodies and buddies and they haven't really worked out very well. I noticed myself that I kind of need people to, you know, like glorify me, and like I need like sort of like material friendship like that. And I'm wondering, what are your realizations about being able to be amanina, amanadena, not desiring respect for others, not and giving up all respect to others, and how do we get to that point where we're so satisfied that we don't need to be respected and we can be.
Thank you. As we have mentioned, the living entity is tatastha, we're very small. So we always hanker, we always look for that friendship, for that strong person to connect to. Now, the tough news is that everybody in this world will desert you. They will all unfriend you at some point. Isn't that the worst thing somebody can do to you? They unfriend you on social media, or it may happen already like in kindergarten, you know. What happened to him or to her? Oh no, we're not friends anymore. We don't talk, you know. I'm of a different group now. It may have happened to some of you. So the bad news is everybody in this world is going to unfriend you. So get used to it. But the good news is that your actual friend, Krishna, the super soul, the real friend of the living entity, is always there with us. Going with us through thick and thin, through all 8,400,000 life forms. Can you imagine what we put the Paramatma through? He's coming along with us on this journey throughout all these life forms, all these embarrassing situations. But he's sticking with us, and he's ready to guide us, he's ready to support us, he's ready to give us matak smritir jnanam apohanam cha, knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. That is a real friend. So that is the friendship that we should be looking for. And the more that we connect ourselves to Paramatma and to the Bhagavatam, the more we will also become stable, and we will also become capable of offering Krishna's friendship to others. And it's possible. It's possible. So, Hare Krishna. Other points? In the front. It is said that the Vaishnavas are our only friends. And a real friend is somebody who tells you what you may not want to hear, but it's good for you. And so we should hear what the Vaishnavas have to say. O Vaishnav. Where is the independence? You always have the choice. You always have the freedom of choice. That's your independence. Ultimately, Krishna is behind everything. Of course. He's the substance. He's the origin. He's the maintainer. Everything is coming from Him. But still, He has given us minute independence. But if we blame Him, why He's only given us minute independence, why He has not given us absolute independence. We are minute. We cannot have absolute independence. We cannot handle it. We cannot even handle minute independence. Why, you want more independence? It sounds scary, right? We could really wreck this place. I mean, right now the damage is kind of controlled, right? Because we can self-destruct to a certain extent. We can, you know, cause a little grief to a few people. But Krishna He knows what's good for us. A loving parent, a loving teacher will only give as much to their dependent as they can actually handle. So Krishna is very kind. He has given us minute independence. We should thank Him for that. Otherwise we'd really be in trouble. And He's there, ready to guide us and to help us, to give us the right direction. Therefore, He tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, these are all the different courses of action. Now, deliberate on it fully and make up your mind. But this is what I want you to do. And Arjuna surrendered. So Sankirtan is the art of surrender. Because when you're out there, you don't have a choice. You have to surrender. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Huh? And we may imagine and conjecture, but when we surrender to Krishna, say, okay, Krishna, please guide me. Please, I do not know how to reach these people. I do not know how to communicate this message. I'm not intelligent. I'm not articulate. I'm not sincere. I'm not pure. But you can make it happen. And people who even may not speak your language, they will all of a sudden stop and say, can I have one of these? I met a boy in Market Impala in San Francisco. He said, I've been looking for this book for 3 years. And now I got it. And he came to the program and he's going to come to Mayapur. So we can become agents of Krishna, of Krishna's compassion. When we team ourselves up with His pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, the Guru Parampara. The Catholic Church had so many popes. But the church is still there. So, we have so many teachers. There's so many different members in the Sampradaya. But the process is going on. So the process of Krishna consciousness is what we should connect ourselves to. And the more we take shelter of this process of hearing and chanting, we take shelter in this boat, we connect ourselves to the root, yatataror mula nisechanena, mula, this root, Prabhupada has given us, mula mantras, He's given us this. These seeds, very powerful hymns, very powerful seeds. If we're mindful and appreciative of them, a whole revolution can spark. Right now, big parts of the world are lying vacant. Not much preaching is going on. We hope that our Russian and Indian brothers and sisters will go to these places and preach Krishna consciousness and restart the preaching mission. We sincerely hope and pray. So if you feel that there's too many devotees in my city and there's just no opportunity for me to preach because wherever I look there's devotees, there are places where there is opportunity for preaching. So everything is revolving according to the Lord's plan, and we are simply here for a few short moments. Thank you for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Rat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi.